Thank you for listening to the Resources for Integrated Care podcast series, Enrollee Advisory Committees Through a Health Equity Lens. This podcast is excerpted from a webinar presented live on March 14, 2024. In this podcast, Pam Burnett, Senior Manager of Health Equity and Quality at Healthcare Service Corporation, HCSC, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, BCBS, shares an overview of enrollee advisory committees and promising practices used to foster meaningful collaboration.
Reflecting on the information you shared, what are your top three promising practices for engaging with EAC participants with diverse cultural and linguistic needs?
Thank you for that question, Brittany. I think I can think of three things that primarily look at. So first of all, we want to make sure that our health plan staff are supporting EAC members through the onboarding or registration process, right? So our EAC, as I said, meets virtually on a quarterly basis. And so as part of that registration process, we make sure that our third-party partner who conducts that virtual and telephonic outreach, that they're very personable with the members when they are asking them regarding joining the EAC. We also, when we receive the member information, we conduct that virtual registration for our meetings via Zoom. And so they get registered as soon as they express the interest of attending the meeting. We also, again, track that data. I can't express enough how important the data is in helping you shape future meetings. And so we make sure that we're tracking that attendance, gender, age, race, ethnicity, and also the geographical data. This helps us in understanding who we are expecting to attend the calls, right? Making sure that we're asking, again, the member about the translation services up front. We do a lot of work, as I stated, with our internal stakeholders, part of the plan, right, and working directly with our peer coordinators to make sure that they, as they're doing their daily contact even, or with our members or enrollees, that they are making sure that they share the EAC information with those members, and that we also want to make sure that the members have a comfort level of we have the right resources on the team to understand and ask any questions, right, of any process and topics that are discussed. And then lastly, everybody is, our internal team that supports EAC is just great. I mean, they are engaged, they understand the importance of the enrollees, they are actively involved in the meeting, they stay on the meeting the entire time to make sure that they can support any member questions throughout EAC. So that would be one thing, is just making sure you have the right supports in place for not just the registration, but also as your meeting is going on, and then also post-meeting. The other thing we did, I talked a little bit about earlier, was Wordly, right? So we wanted to make sure we had a built-in and easy-to-use translation and capturing service. So within the Zoom app, there is a Wordly function, and what it does is it provides AI translation and captioning. So it supports that live translation during the meeting. It's very user-friendly. Again, the member can select a drop-down and see which language is most appropriate for them. And then also we make sure that the enrollees with diverse language needs can follow along in real time and be able to use the translation services during our EAC meeting. And then the third thing is, even though we all know sometimes technology may fail, we do make sure that we have a Spanish-speaking support staff member who stays on the call. In the beginning, she does give directions to them of how they can go in and use Wordly and helps them with any troubleshooting of that translation services should they have that during the call. And then our members, again, our support staff, they do make sure that as other presenters are presenting, we have our duals team that definitely engages to be able to answer any questions or any topics that come up. They monitor that chat to make sure we are providing responses in a timely manner.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Pam. All right, on the next slide, you'll see our next question. What are some strategies that work well to ensure EAC meetings are productive for both the health plan and participants?
So some of the practical strategies that we use is, first of all, we leverage our data, again, to inform discussions. So we use data to understand the dynamics of the population in that particular state that we're meeting with, right? So as an example, we look at our social determinants of health data. We look at those dashboards. We look at our pop health dashboards. So we can understand in advance our members' needs and what likely barriers that they may have, right? We look at the claims data to make sure that we understand the medical diagnosis and the common conditions, which help us identify trends and also note disparities that are impacting that population. We, again, look at data again, right, to make sure that we understand the race and ethnicity and any other demographics that may be unique to that particular information. And so we take all of this information and we develop timely and relevant topics that, again, is specific to the EAC enrollees in that state. So to give you an example, our data analysis indicated to us that in one of our particular states, diabetes was a prevalent member condition there. So we brought in a health educator who actually did a presentation about diabetes during the meetings, right? We brought in our community affairs team to share upcoming community events that were relevant in those areas that were related to diabetes management and control, right? And then we also, with those poll questions, even after we do that education session, we engage the EAC members in that discussion, right, by asking them to provide their input using some poll questions to prompt them to what insights or what barriers to care or even possible solutions that they may have, which then helps us inform improvements to our chronic care management efforts. The other thing that I'll say is that we also like to ensure that we have meaningful content and organizational support during the meeting. I've kind of gone over this a couple of times, but just to stress enough that one team cannot do this by themselves, right? And so with all of the internal support that we have, we make sure that we're getting input prior to the meeting, we're getting input after the meeting. We make sure that we create a multifaceted agenda to develop relevant and meaningful content. We also, again, take that direct member feedback, and that's what helps us determine some of our special topics as part of that next quarter's agenda. Again, in looking at the disease states and the prevalence to that DSNP community, we also use that to determine special topics. In the example I gave with diabetes, there's another example where we noticed a high diagnosis in one of our states related to hypertension. And so as we plan our meetings, we look for those special topics that would be most meaningful to the population there. In the meeting introduction, we always start off with a statement related to the importance of the EAC, why it was created. We stress to the enrollees of having their voice and hearing their voice. We stress that this gives them the opportunity to actively engage in their health plan. And also, it gives them the opportunity to provide input on plan improvements or changes. The agenda is also structured to make sure that we include benefit information, right? Because when we think about benefit information, it is a form of literacy. So we make sure that we are including DSNP information specific to that DSNP population and their benefits, supplemental information, their pharmacy benefits. We want to make sure that that is uniquely tailored and specific so they understand what applies to the dually eligible population. We share information related to support services that may be offered through our care coordination team. We do the health education element. And then we also, every quarter, make sure that we have a health equity component of the meeting in there, where we focus on information about sharing data from our actual health equity plan. We talk about removing healthcare barriers and also addressing any SDOH needs such as food insecurity, transportation, isolation, those types of things. We also make sure we have a regulatory update section of our deck and our presentation, right, where we include information that we receive from our state regulators or our federal regulations on topics such as redetermination. In fact, as an example, redetermination is such a critically important topic that we make sure that it is a standing agenda item on our EAC meetings and that we have a team member who's working directly with redetermination and understanding those regulations present at that meeting as well. Again, our Zoom polls do help us to gauge member understanding throughout the meeting. The questions in the chat and the responses help us engage that as well. And then we ensure that we have the appropriate representation where the teams are presenting, where, you know, sometimes they will even invite another staff member from their team just to make sure that if any questions are in the chat when they're presenting, that they can give those real-time answers and questions to that, right? And then we also try to make sure, just to, you know, not have the same agenda items every month, we do rotate topics, especially when it comes to disease barriers and some of our SDOH needs. And then the last thing that I'll share is the feedback. I can't stress enough how important that feedback is, right? Because it really is going to help shape those meetings, right? It's going to help you understand if the member is grasping the understanding of the topic just covered, or did it present more questions, right? And then we actually need to revisit that topic in a different way or a more detailed way next quarter. We also, at the end of the meetings, again, give the member the opportunity to ask questions, to, you know, give any comments, issues, or concerns. Sometimes if we can see that the member is sharing personal information, we try to step in and stop them right away, get a care coordinator who can work with them immediately offline to address those. We also distribute meeting minutes to our internal staff that, you know, were participating and supporting that quarter to make sure that they understand any feedback we received, any open action items that were specifically related to those areas, because we want to make sure we close the loop and that the enrollee is reached out to and their concern is addressed. And then our duals team is very instrumental in helping us make sure that we are connecting the members to the right resources, even if they're not on the phone, because closing that loop is very, very important to get that continued member participation.
Excellent. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Pam. All right. What advice would you give plan staff members experiencing challenges engaging enrollees through EACs?
You know, recently I happened to be at a youth event, and a topic that was being discussed there was called pivoting and perseverance. And so we always have to keep that in mind. If you have different states and communities in your EAC meeting, you can't view that as a one-size-fits-all. So we need our enrollees' input to be successful. So when a strategy isn't working, you've got to be flexible enough to pivot without losing that passion to persevere and keep trying new approaches, right? So as we talk about approaches, we look at our communication approach, right? We use a multi-communication approach, making sure that we utilize text, email, and or phone call where applicable and appropriate. We also make sure that our phone and text outreach scripts have been approved by our regulators and that we're using the most effective language. We ensure that it's beneficial for our EAC-focused health plan staff to put that supportive structure in place to aid and comfort with the process and to encourage better outreach and engagement efforts. So, for example, you want to ensure that your outreach script emphasizes the importance of member feedback and engaging them and hearing their policy, hearing their voice, and their voice will help with forming policies and procedures. We rely on the outreach scripts for both our EAC recruitment and for, you know, our actual EAC meetings, right? Our leadership and regulations teams review those scripts to make sure that we have accurate and consistent language. And then to further both the EAC and with the specific meeting of the registration, we also engage internal staff members that work on our community-facing team, like our community relations board. We look at some of our other populations that are also doing member advisory meetings, like our Medicaid population or our Medicare member appreciation meeting, to see what information we can glean from what they're doing. And then we also make sure that as we're interfacing with some of our external community-based organizations, that we're sharing EAC as an opportunity with them, and also understanding what information they may have as an external stakeholder that may help us in developing our meeting content. So speaking of meeting content, that would be the next thing, is to make sure that the data that I've mentioned several times, right, that we use that to solicit EAC member topics, and that we're shaping the agenda and developing appropriate and relevant meeting content. We also strive to make sure that the EAC members, if there is a specific topic that they've mentioned or they provided in that feedback, we make sure that we include that in the next quarter meeting. We get the right subject matter expert in that next meeting to be able to address that. Our real-time polls help us to make sure that we have another way to, again, understand real-time. Is the member, do they appear to be grasping the information? Is this the subject that we need to cover in more detail next month, right? And then we also want to make sure that we always have a poll question that is tailored to things of SDOH needs. You know, as an example, in one state, we may find that food insecurity or food options is a pressing topic for them, right? However, in another state, it may be transportation. And so that's where I'm talking about the flexibility in planning that meeting and being open-minded and using the responses that you are receiving to help shape that EAC agenda. And again, member incentives, right? We do stay within our regulatory guidelines, but we want to make sure we're offering members incentives such as a thank you letter to reinforce that we are appreciative of their valuable time and their feedback, and we do offer them a $25 Walgreens gift card for them attending the meeting.
Wonderful, Pam. Thank you. Next, please walk through a successful example of implementing an EAC suggestion.
Okay, sure. So this is a SDOH barrier that actually has not only, it's come up in various of our member-facing meetings, right, whether it was our MMAI meeting or our Medicaid meetings, and that was concerns related to a transportation vendor. And so the members were expressing concerns centered around late arrivals, driver disrespect, you know, a few other issues. So what we did with that information is we collaborated with one of our health equity partners who assisted us with getting some established focus group to really dive in and understand these concerns better. And so the focus group that they put together, they came back with a summary of recommendations from those participants of the focus group that included things like education of members on transportation services, accessibility. They wanted to see more follow-up once a member had used the transportation services to kind of ensure that they were satisfied. And they also mentioned retraining of drivers, dispatchers, and staff in general, and felt like there were some changes that needed to be made to some of their transportation protocols. So our partner helped us take this information. They compiled it in a final report, and we reviewed it with our internal staff. And so one of the things that was an outcome of that was actually the transportation vendors, drivers training. So we developed and put together some training. Some of the topics that were included were trauma-informed customer service, maintaining professional boundaries, developing emotional intelligence, HIPAA training. So we took all of that information. It was compiled, put into a training deck, and then we trained this transportation vendors and their drivers with this information. And so we then re-met with the focus group, took that information back to them, and assured the members that, you know, the training had taken place. You know, we were looking to see and would be doing follow-up with them to see if they saw any improvements in their experience with this particular transportation vendor. And so as a result of that, you know, the feedback that we received in those follow-up meetings is that they actually had seen some of that improvement, and it did increase enrollee satisfaction with that transportation vendor since that intervention had been implemented.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Pam, for sharing that wonderful example. Okay, time flies when you're having fun. So we have about one more minute for our last panel question. And that last question is, please describe how the plan uses and shares EAC feedback.
So one of the things that we implemented, as I was talking about the first year being foundational, and you kind of hit some bumps and bruises along the way, and you develop some learning lessons from that. So one of the things that we did is we implemented immediately following the EAC meeting, the internal staff has a post-meeting call. And during that call, they discuss any priority concerns to make sure that, you know, follow-up action items are assigned, that we have some timelines associated as to when we can expect, you know, the information to be relayed to the enrollee. We also share, again, our detailed meeting minutes, which include, you know, meeting information, the responses to the poll questions, open actions, and any next steps that were determined during that post-meeting. And then the other thing is our annual impact report, which we implemented last year. And so, again, this report was shared with our internal health plan staff and also our leadership. The report included collective data of all of our quarterly meetings, and it included things like meeting engagement, right, participant demographics, member feedback. We also requested from the third-party partners that support us, we asked them to do impact reports as well, right, so that they could provide us details around registration process, outreach process, right, any follow-ups that they did. And so this information was very instrumental in helping us design and make changes or help us understand gaps and concerns that were related to how our meetings were being structured. And so it allowed us to be able to make some changes as we went into 2024. It also gives us the opportunity to formulate any feedback that we may need to pass back up to our regulators as we talk about shaping and informing future policies. And then we also make sure from a health equity standpoint that we're understanding what were the greatest concerns, SDOH barriers, disease disparities, so that we're making sure that we are appropriately planning for the interventions for that. Just to give a couple of quick examples, we learned that 50% of our EA participants in Texas were participants that were, you know, attending Always on a regular basis, right? We had a question that came up basically several times in our Texas and New Mexico meetings about supplemental benefits. So we make sure that that is part of our agenda each quarter, where we're explaining the over-counter benefit of flexible spending overview and how they can more effectively and efficiently utilize that card.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is presented by the Lewin Group and is supported through the Medicare-Medicaid Coordination Office at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. MMCO is dedicated to helping beneficiaries enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid have access to seamless, high-quality healthcare that includes the full range of covered services in both programs. To support providers in their efforts to deliver more integrated, coordinated care, MMCO is developing technical assistance and actionable tools based on successful innovations in care models. To learn more about current efforts and resources, please visit our website, www.resourcesforintegratedcare.com. You can also find us on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is @integrate_care, or follow Resources for Integrated Care on LinkedIn to stay up to date with our recent products and technical assistance.